Are you all there?
Yes.
Shall we start off as we dig into this big question, the great quest? Let's ask for God's wisdom. Lord, thank you that you don't leave us in the dark about things that really matter. Thank you that you've given us the Bible to show us how you think and how you want us to behave. Lord, we pray that you'll help us now, all of us, to get something very rich out of this time. Amen.
Amen.
You know, one of the real problems in society is that people are searching for things, but they don't really know what they're looking for. That's why I put that sort of fuzzy mess up there. They know there's something that isn't there yet. They're not satisfied. There's something missing. It's a bit dim. And yet, they're not quite sure what it is. It's a blur. It may appear that some people have got the answers. I mean, you look at pictures of Tony Blair. He's got fame, power. But has he really got the answer? Or George Brown, I bet he's a better example. That there are real issues. People who are rich. Who's that man who owns Virgin? Is he happy? Has he got the answers? Or is there still this quest in him? Well, I can guarantee the answer to that one. I hope you can. He's got a quest. There's something gnawing away inside him that is not satisfied. And Robbie Williams is a hero of many people. You know his famous quote? "Don't follow me, I'm lost too." Interesting. Have you seen what's written on his shirt? The tattoo across his chest. Chacun a son goût. Who's our French scholars here? Each to his own taste. Goût is taste, not gout. Okay. Everybody do what is good for them, what they want to do. Is that really going to satisfy them? It's a very foolish thing to have tattooed across your chest, if I might say so, because it's wrong. That's not the way to find answers. You know, there's a gigantic market now for books that will tell you how to get satisfaction, how to cope with life, how to be successful, how to find happiness. Now, there's one such booklet there, Move Ahead with Possibility Thinking. That one came out in the 1980s. Let me read to you something it says inside it. How to be successful and find happiness. Okay? Repeat out loud these powerful affirmations. I'm going to be happy today. Though the skies are cloudy and grey, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to be happy today. I'm happy. I really am happy. I have great possibilities within me. Now, if you want to spend 10 quid on that stuff, you are more than fool. Well, whatever people might think of such trite answers, it does actually confirm there is a great quest in all people. In fact, the Bible confirms this. So that's not just original thinking. There is something missing. You remember Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones? What was his great hit? Very good. But it's true, isn't it? He's just saying the same thing. There's this something lacking in all people that we try to satisfy in various ways. Have you heard of Blaise Pascal? This will go for the people who know a little bit about maths or philosophy. What country did he come from? France, middle of the 17th century. So, very bright man. He did a lot of work on the maths of the cones. Want to know about that? And you know, what areas there are when you chop cones in half. Very, very brilliant. But one night, he was travelling in a coach, and he crossed the Neuilly-sur-Seine bridge just north of Bois de Boulogne, and his horse shied, and the horse fell over the edge of the cliff of the bridge, and his carriage ended up precariously over the edge, but the straps of the horses broke, and he was left there. It really knocked him for six. And shortly afterwards, he fainted. But he had an intense experience of God. He couldn't explain it. And this is what he wrote. He wrote a brief note to himself. Fire. God of Abraham, Isaac, God of Jacob, not of philosophers and of scholars, I will not forget thy word. What's interesting, that little bit of paper that he wrote, he sewed it into his overcoat pocket. And everywhere he went, he had that little message, I will not forget thy word. Who knows which bit of the Bible that comes from? Psalm 119. What is Psalm 119 all about? Yeah, all of it. You look at every verse, in fact, bar three or four when I went through it, everyone mentions your statutes, your word, that how can a young man make his way pure by living according to your word? So, anyway, this chap, Pascal, before he became a Christian, he recognised this something missing. And he wrote, inside every man is a God-shaped gap. God-sized gap, sorry. And after he became a Christian, he added the words which only Jesus Christ can fill. Very profound. So this brilliant man, and he really oozed brain power, did a lot of his work. He was homeschooled, and I think he got all his advanced sort of degree type stuff when he was about 12. But it's everywhere. I was talking to a doctor. Some of you heard of this dear doctor. He said, I've been looking for God for years. Had a very interesting conversation. So I said to him, well, where have you been looking? He said, well, I've been thinking about these things. So I said, perhaps a little rudely, but you won't find him there. You've got to find him where he's revealed himself. Anyway, people, if they won't look in the right place, won't find the answers. But there is an answer to this something missing bit in our life, the God-shaped gap. And that's what we're talking about now. Now, how do people find the solution to this something missing bit? Well, that's what we're going to look at. The first reading we had, Jeremiah 29, is a verse that's well worth learning. Jeremiah 29:13. You'll see me and find me. What have you got to do? God says, the gap is me. When you seek, you've got to seek desperately, haven't you? Really desire to get answers, to have this God-sized gap filled. He says, seek me and you'll find me. Now, don't seek him alone, just thinking like a philosopher. You've got to look where God's revealed himself. So let's move on to the Proverbs, which we're going to really look at tonight. See, Proverbs is all about how to fill this void, how to have a successful, satisfying life. If you're there, what page numbers Proverbs in the... Sorry? 4, 4, 6 or 7. Yep. Look at the beginning at Proverbs, right at the beginning of the book. Notice who wrote it? King Solomon. Meant to be one of the wisest men there's ever been. Son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom. That's what we want. Wisdom in the Bible is the answer to this void, this fuzziness, there's something missing. Wisdom. So I want wisdom. Oh dear. And discipline. You don't get answers unless you're disciplined in looking for them. That's what we've had from Jeremiah, isn't it? Seek with all your heart. Spend time doing it. Reading, studying. I want wisdom, but discipline's involved. For understanding words of insight. Yeah, that's what I want. I want to have answers. For acquiring a... Oh dear, it comes again. A disciplined and prudent life. Doing what is right and just and fair. Yeah, deep down I know that's right. I know everybody, including me, should do what's right and just and fair. But it's this understanding. Now, simple. Are you a simple person in the Bible? Well, a simple person is someone who hasn't understood yet that God is the answer. So actually, you can have a low IQ and biblically not be simple. So you don't have to have an IQ of 150 in order to move out of the simple range. You can still be simple with an IQ of 150 because you've left God out of the picture. That's, you see, Proverbs 1:7. These are the things I want. Then comes, you got it, you all get, what's the big first proverb? There it is, 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Comes again, doesn't it? Somehow, to get this emptiness filled, I've got to seek knowledge, which is the fear of the Lord, and work at it. Discipline. Now, Proverbs is an amazingly practical book. If you've never gone through it, because they sometimes come a little bit in topsy-turvy order, they can be difficult. But it tells us how to live in everyday life. It's interesting why it's so little known. I suppose it's partly, we don't use Proverbs much, do we? Do you use Proverbs in schools and college? Do people, you know, teach you a stitch in time? This table knows it, but you've got to work it. What does it mean, a stitch in time saves nine? Yeah, I know that because my old coat had a tear in it, and because Rosie didn't sew it up, because some sutures were not applied early enough, the whole thing went and split. So, yeah, I understand that. How about never insult a crocodile until you've crossed the river? Yeah, I can understand that, can't you? Yes, think ahead about what you're doing and who you're insulting, because you know, they may be an enemy later. There's a Turkish proverb: if you meet a bear on a bridge, call it auntie. Why? Because it's very important to make friends with possible enemies. It's brilliant. I mean, just a little short bit, it gives a bit of wisdom. Now,
the book of Proverbs
provokes us into this sort of sense. And it tells us the secret of life.
Now, the
one of the great themes of the book of Proverbs is that successful living requires serious application. We won't get there unless we spend time and actually live out what we've been taught.
So, it sets us to work, sets us to think.
Now, those of us who are Christians, we found the answer to this void is Jesus. He is the answer. He makes sense of everything, and doing what he wants gives great satisfaction now, and in eternity it'll all be very, very clear. But when the Bible talks of wisdom as a person, and it does in Proverbs, it's talking about a person, Jesus. And in fact, do you know how Proverbs near the end goes? Do turn over to this one. It's a wonderful one if you don't know it. I was talking to a man at this wedding yesterday. And he'd say, what's the name of God? And I was able to say, actually, we not only know his name, but we know the name of his son too. Now look at this. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who's wrapped up the water? The second bit of the verse. Who's wrapped up the waters in his cloak? Who's established all the ends of the earth? What's his name? And the name of his son? Tell me if you know. This is what this man asked me yesterday. So I'm very, very pleased to be able to tell him the answer. Isn't it a wonderful verse, that? What's his name? Yahweh. What's the name of his son? Jesus, the Messiah, his chosen king. So, back now to Proverbs chapter 2. The answer, and Paul, didn't he, says that Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do you remember that one? In the beginning of 1 Corinthians 1. He's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Anyway, back, and we'll see Jesus talked about here in the beginning of Proverbs. Proverbs 2, which we had our reading. Yeah, you say, I want to know answers. I really would like to see. And look, what you have to do, verses 1 to 5. Seek earnestly where God has revealed himself. Do you see that? Understanding and knowledge come to those who seek God diligently, energetically, single-mindedly. Why is it that, unfortunately, many young people who go to school Christian unions or go to youth groups in churches or even go to Christian unions at school, after a while they drift from the Lord Jesus? Their walk with him fades. Why? It's because we're not committed diligently to seek him. You see, there's so many voices now in the world that says to all of us, look, why don't you live it up more? Have more fun. But there's only one voice that can be trusted, and that's the voice of God. Where do you find the voice of God? In the Word of God. You see, making sense of life doesn't come by accident. It comes for those who seriously look for it. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Proverbs 2. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, search for it, verse 4, as for hidden treasure. So Solomon teaches, just as Jesus did, go for it. Be disciplined. Sometimes it'll be painful. You won't feel like it. But wisdom can never be acquired without pain. How foolish of us to think that things will just drift our way. We'll get a good living. Things will work out nicely. That's stupid. How do you think you're going to get to know the Word of God? Honestly. I was talking to a group of Christians the other day, very keen church, and they were ignorant, awfully ignorant, of basic Bible teaching about promises of God to those who've committed their lives to Christ, assurance verses. They didn't know them. How are we going to learn the Word of God so that it permeates us and guides us in our inner being and the way we ought to go? Discipline. Do you all make time to read God's Word every day? If you want to fill this void for the rest of your life, the answer is from the Word of God. If you can't be bothered to read God's Word, I'll tell you what will happen. You'll drift. Eventually, pressures will come. Be disciplined in studying God's Word. Find out how other people do it. Get some, I know we've talked about before, get some explore notes. Get something. And make a discipline to spend time with God every day. Now, what's the goal? What's going to happen when we do this? We seek God. We seek him in his word where he's revealed himself. Can you see the answer? It's a relationship with God. Then, look verse 5, you'll understand the fear of the Lord. It'll be you. You'll want to do what God wants. You'll find not just the knowledge in a book. You'll have a knowledge of God himself. You'll have this wisdom. And out of your mouth, you'll be able to pass on to other people what God's taught you. I remember when I was a student and became a Christian, the idea of standing up in the front of a group of people and passing on what God's taught me was bizarre. But it does happen, and many of us can say this. God's now using us because he's taught us. And the person who learns most is the one who teaches. So the goal is a relationship with God. It's to fear him, to listen to him, to talk to him, to be holy, that's the other word. But again, what do we have to do? Verse 5. Then you'll understand if we search diligently. Then you'll have wisdom, 6. We talked about Psalm 119, isn't it? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 11. How can a young man keep his way, and young girls? How to do it? By living according to your word. You've got to work at it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. Very good. Interesting. The older people know this. We've got to work at this. Your word. How's Psalm 119 divided up? You can't learn all of these ridiculous number of verses. Do you know how they learned it? They learned it by heart, the old Jewish people. Do you know how they did it? All 176 verses? Why is it divided into 22 sections? That's a clue, if you know. 22 sections. Which alphabet? The Hebrew. Aleph, Beth, Gemel, Dalet. And every verse in each section in the Hebrew begins with that letter. That's how you learn it. Because we're expected to learn God's word. It is God's word. And it's all about the Bible. Well, then you'll understand. Let's go back to Proverbs 2:7. What's the result going to be? Look at verse 7. God holds victory in store for the upright. The Lord does. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. You live this way, even though it's tough, and you'll be shielded by God. There's victory for you, satisfaction that you'll never know any other way. Isn't that wonderful stuff? Look at the second bit of verse 8. God protects the way of his faithful ones. We are secure if we live God's way. But what's going to happen? You say to yourself, yeah, I want to live this sort of life. I want to be fulfilled. And say, I want to be like this. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to seek God and understand him through his word. But look at verse 12. There will be some pressures on you. And there will be two big ones. See the first one? Your friends. Your friends at college. Your friends at school. Friends at work. They say, oh, come on. Come and have some fun with us. We're going to... And you want to be part of the crowd, so you go with them. And then things get a bit out of control, and then you get caught, and then they perhaps have some drugs, and then a bit of alcohol, and then you know how things happen. Because you're in the wrong crowd. Wicked people who walk in ungodly ways. Look at 14. Who delight in doing wrong. You know who they are, don't you? Don't do that. But then look at the second one. Look at verse 16. It's so contemporary. People have never changed. Don't believe anyone who says, well, people in the Bible were simpler or more naive than we are. That's not true. They had the same temptations. Wicked friends and sex. Promiscuous sex. You see it there? Verse 16. God knows what people are like. We've always been like that. It's a trap. How seductive those films on television are. Those 18 films. But look where it leads to. It leads to death, spiritual death. Don't go down that road. Now look on, 20 to 22, a little summary. What should you do then? Keep in the company of good men, godly men. Keep close to them. Keep to the paths of the righteous. Don't be tempted. Well, you will be tempted, but when someone says, oh, I want to live, I want to enjoy myself, this is what the others are doing. Doing things that are wrong, you know they're wrong. They will ensnare you. Drugs are not the only thing that ensnares you. Promiscuity, doing things that are wrong. Losing our temper. Once you lose it once, it's so much easier to lose it again. Saying unkind things about someone else. Do it once. Oh, it's much easier to do it again. Don't, if you're going to be godly. Remember, Jesus was recognized in his time, even by his enemies, as a man of being with I, man of integrity. Very much so. It's the same idea as wisdom in Proverbs. I read to you from Mark 12. Later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, Teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. It's the same thing, isn't it? Wisdom. Oh, that every one of us here would set our hearts to be like Jesus. There's a man called General Dean. He was the senior American officer kidnapped in the Korean War, captured by the North Koreans. They didn't like him, and they told him they're going to shoot him within the hour. Just put yourself in his boots. Quaking. He said, they said, you can write one letter before we finish things for you. So he decided to write to his son. And this is the letter he wrote. Son, he said, remember the word is integrity. Not, son, get all the education you can because this is the world of the educated man. Not, son, have all the fun you can because you only live once. Not, son, go and make a fortune because money buys everything nowadays. No, son, remember the word is integrity, he wrote. I think they're so impressed with that letter, they decided not to kill him at the end of that. But isn't it a lovely letter to have sent to you? Get wisdom. Get integrity. Be like Jesus. Well, I'm going to finish there. Can you just turn back to the first great proverb? Proverbs 1, verse 7. Can you learn this? Doing an awful lot of learning. Colossians 3, 12 to 14 is staple for this week. But this is a bonus one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Shall we pray? Lord, you know, at times we've all got this void in us, this wanting more, wanting this and that, and we think that that'll satisfy, but when we get it, it doesn't. Lord, please help us to see life as you see it. And for the, 70, 90 years that we're on this earth, help us to seek you, to seek wisdom, to seek integrity, to want to be people who follow the word of God, who become like Jesus. And Lord, please use us mightily. Change us from being the sort of people we are into being the sort of people you want us to be. For Christ's sake. Amen.